If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. There's always at least one subject that you have to learn in school, and you hate it. And you wonder why you're learning it. And as you are learning it, you are inundated with thoughts of just how useless this subject is. You'll never use it. It's hard, frustrating, and it takes an enormous amount of work just to get a basic understanding of the material. And while you're going through it, you are convinced you will never use the stuff you are learning. The student can only plow through the work, make a passing grade, and then forget everything they learned. Because to them, it's just not important. I remember when I was in the seventh grade, I had a good friend of mine tell me he was going to take up the study of Latin. And for the life of me, I couldn't figure out why he would want to waste his time. Now I teach Latin in the academy. But he saw the importance of something that I didn't. In 10th grade, I studied geometry. Never thought I'd use it. I just studied, passed, and moved on. Then when I became an adult, I started dabbling with woodworking, and I found out, you know, understanding angles, degrees, and shapes is kind of important if you want to build something that looks good and is structurally sound. In the 10th grade, I learned something that I never thought I would use. I didn't think it was important at the time, but in actuality, it was. It just took me almost 20 years to see it. One of the ways Scripture talks about sin is to say it blinds the eyes. There are those who see but do not perceive what they are seeing. And there are those who hear. They hear the word of God, but they do not understand what they are hearing and so don't believe. Sin clouds our senses. And it is a symptom of sin to think we always know what we need to know. It is the sinful nature that pushes us to use our own fallible judgment in determining what we need and what we don't. It happens in school when we think learning a particular subject is of no value when in fact it is. But even more concerning, it happens in the church. It happened in Jesus' day when people saw him and heard him, yet they decided they had no use for him. They rejected his word and so rejected God. Jesus came for sinners. Christ came to save sinners and to give you peace, which you have by faith. Confirmation is about faith in Christ. The doctrine, the teaching any confirmand learns, is in some way about Jesus and his saving work of going to the Father by crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension to reconcile you to God and make you one with him. Jesus taught this. He preached it, and there were those who thought it was rubbish, that they didn't need it and could do just fine without it. Friends in Christ, there is nothing in Jesus' teaching that we can drop because we think we don't need it, and it's unimportant. If you love Christ, you will love his word. The two are inseparable. You cannot divorce Jesus from his teaching. You cannot separate Jesus from his word. One cannot claim in one breath, I believe in Jesus, but you know what? I don't really like his teaching on adultery. It's just too strict. Or, I don't believe in his teaching on marriage. One cannot say, I believe in Jesus, but you know what? His teaching on divorce, it's just too much for me. But everything else, I'm okay with. God's word was not given that we might be the arbitrator over what is true and what is false. If you love God, you will love his word. All of it. Everything he has given. Because his word, all of it, everything he has given is for your good, Christian. And it is important. Nathan. Emma. Hannah, and Annabelle. All of you have been taught the Word of God and our confession of faith. Annabelle, you patiently went through adult instruction class while carrying a child. That says a lot. Nathan, Emma, Hannah, for 2 years you have been studying, doing memory work and sermon notes. Sermon notes, right, Nathan? Okay. Y'all have done well. Now that you've accomplished the work, passed your oral exam, and no more are you required to attend confirmation class, you might feel like forgetting it. Because Pastor Grodowitz won't be pestering you weekly about getting your work done and threatening not to commune you. The classroom work is done. But everything you learned needs to be remembered because another test is coming. A lot of tests are coming, and they are not for a grade. The tests you will face down the road really are for your soul, and you either pass or you fail. Jesus says the ruler of this world is coming. For him, that's a reference to Satan and the events leading to his death. But you will confront the ruler of this world. Satan will come after you hard, as he does every Christian marked by Christ in holy baptism. You will suffer from the extremely powerful temptation to think you can forget all this stuff, everything you learned, and it won't matter. That's going to be a real temptation. And there will be the temptation to think Christian doctrine, knowing the Word of God in and out, is irrelevant for the believer. And you will be tempted to think you can go to any old church, and as long as they mention the word Jesus and the people are nice and they cook good food, you're okay. Doesn't really matter what they believe. As long as they talk about Jesus and exhibit kindness, you are safe. You will suffer from that temptation. There will be temptations to think you can go without church for extended periods of time and it won't affect you. You can get out of bed, still eat, still drink, and go about your day, and everything will seem fine. People of God, the ruler of this world deceives Christians into thinking preaching and the sacraments aren't necessary for the believer. Do you know how many times as a pastor I've heard people tell me they don't have to go to church to be a Christian? I've heard it a lot. And it is usually said with real conviction. And what they're really telling me is to get off my back. No one has ever denied that faith can and does exist outside the walls of a church building. People aren't just believers on Sunday. That's entirely true. And it is also just as true that there is no guarantee one will remain in the faith when staying away from church for long periods of time. This is the place where mercy, peace, and the forgiveness of sins is bestowed upon sinners by a gracious God. This is where the called minister of Christ is commanded to forgive people in the name of Jesus. This is where the Lord's Holy Supper is put into the mouths of sinners for the forgiveness of all their sins. The question is, why wouldn't a Christian want to be here receiving God's gifts, receiving his healing and his grace, so that we can go out into the world and serve our neighbor with the joy of knowing we belong to God in Christ, who has given us a place where we can gather in his name and receive his gifts. Why wouldn't the Christian want to be here? God cannot be mocked. He does know it when people take his name on their lips while their hearts are far from him. He also knows the troubles that burden our hearts. And he also knows how afraid we become when the law convicts us of our sin and/or a tidal wave of suffering swallows us and we don't know if we're going to make it out alive. In the gospel lesson, we heard these words from our Lord. Jesus, he says, let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. And he says this because he's going to the Father. He's going to be crucified. That's what he is saying. He's going to the Father and will do so by crucifixion. For this, the disciples should have rejoiced, because Jesus will display his love for the Father and his love for you when he ascends to the cross, his altar upon which he sacrifices his flesh as divine atonement for all sin. If you want to see God's love for you, look at the cross. Look at the cross. And there you see it. Rejoice in this. Because Jesus going to the Father means his work here to purchase you with the price of his holy precious blood is complete and you belong to him. Don't be afraid. There is nothing to fear. By faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have peace with God. His wrath for sin has been poured out on the cross where your sins meet their end. Death is defeated. And you have life in Jesus. Temptations still come. Temptations still come in this life, and they are powerful. The gift God has given you is confession and absolution, whereby you confess your sins and temptations before the called minister of Christ, and you receive the light of God's absolution, his forgiveness and healing, a tremendous gift for any sinner struggling with the weight of affliction and sin. When you go to confession and absolution, the pastor speaks God's forgiveness into your ears. The light of his mercy shines in that gospel. This is peace. God's peace. This peace is not what the world gives. The world tells you true peace comes from having money, a good job, leisure, a healthy body, things we should pray for regarding the support and needs of our bodies. But such things do not help with the problem of sin, the spiritual battles with evil and death plaguing our bodies, evil and sin that does its best to convince us we are no child of God, but that of the devil. For some of you, the pain of your past haunts you every day. For some of you, the world really is caving in around you. It's one trial after another. Nothing is going right. You may even think to yourself, it is a miracle that you got out of bed and came here this morning. And you know what? It is. It is always God's work to bring his people to this place to receive something only he gives, not the world. Even through your affliction, do you have peace with God in Christ? The affliction, the pain, the suffering, my friends, it is always, always for a little while compared to eternal riches. And even now, God gives you his peace to know, because Jesus has gone to the Father through the cross and now sits in glory at the Father's right hand. You have God's peace and his favor and his mercy and his love. The devil cannot take that away. The ruler has no claim on Jesus. This also means he has no claim on the people of God baptized into his holy name. He has no claim on you. You have been bought. You have been bought by the blood of the Son of God. This means peace even now. The trials will end. The suffering will end. And God one day will take you to be with himself. Confirmands, do not forget this. People of God, do not forget this. And if you are here today for the first time, and this is the first time you've heard this good news and you believe it, then rejoice, because it is for you as well. Amen. I may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus from now until life everlasting. Go in his peace. Amen.